Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I am doing a series of lessons out of the book of Acts, looking at some of the cases of conversion. And what we mean by that is cases or accounts of individuals who were lost in sin and converted to Christ. They obeyed the gospel plan of salvation that was given to them. So we call them cases of conversion. And there are several of them in the book of Acts. They all end with the person being baptized into Christ. That's very important, especially today in the religious world where many people say that baptism is not necessary for salvation. All of these cases of conversion ended in baptism. And I want to look at a few of these. And we began looking at the first one on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, last week. And I want to look at another one today in Acts chapter 8. And I'm calling this series Conversion Questions because in these cases of conversion, there are some things that are said and done that I believe merit and warrant questions asked about that in light of present day religious practices. For example, we looked last week in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Why did Peter tell those on Pentecost to save yourselves from this crooked generation? Why did he say that in light of current religious doctrine that says that you don't do anything to be saved? God does it all for you. Why did he tell them, save yourselves from this crooked generation? In what sense did they have anything to do with their salvation? So that's the conversion question we looked at last week. The conversion question that I'd like to look at this week comes from Acts chapter 8 and the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And our question this week comes from verse 38 of Acts chapter 8. And he, the eunuch, commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The question I want to ask this morning on the program is, why stop the chariot? Why command the chariot to stand still? Why is that in this account? Why is that important? It's not just simply incidental. It's not just simply a minor detail in the story. It is something that is very important. So, this morning's question is, why command the chariot to stand still? If some things that men and women are saying today are true in the religious world, if what they're saying is true, why command the chariot to stand still? And you'll see that as our lesson unfolds today. I would like to read this account, and then we'll come back through and make some points. So let's read together Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. But an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except someone shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation, who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, Behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Might just make a note there on verse 40 that what Philip was doing on this occasion and what follows is preaching the gospel. And so the gospel was preached by Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. It ended with the eunuch confessing Christ and being baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing because his sins were washed away. His sins were forgiven. And what a great thing that is. So this morning on the program, I want to answer the question, why command the chariot to stand still? If what people are saying today in religion is true, why do that? If what people today are saying in religion about conversion and coming to Christ is true, it makes it entirely unnecessary that the eunuch would command the chariot to stand still. There's absolutely no reason for this to happen if what people today are saying is true. And that's the point of our lesson. Do we go by what the scripture teaches, or do we go by what modern day religious individuals are saying? And there are religious programs here on this radio program on Sunday morning, and you have to listen carefully to what is being said, and you have to ask yourself, is this really in scripture? We have come to trust preachers and pastors and reverends and priests and popes. We've come to trust what they say, but often what they say is not the Word of God. We need to let the Bible speak when we want to know what God wants for our life. We can't just assume. Now, many individuals, when they say things about the Bible, that it's true and fine, but a lot of times they will speak error as well. So you always have to check what people are saying, including myself, including this program, with what the Word of God says. But we've come to trust individuals, so we don't really question. We don't investigate. We just accept what they say. And a lot of times with regard to being right with God, being converted to Christ, people will say that you're saved by faith only. And you don't do anything except accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And when you do that, at that moment, you'll be saved. And we just accept that, but we don't ever check that with the Word of God. So in light of that, let's ask the question this morning, why command the chariot to stand still? Consider some things that we are told about this scenario, this account. Luke records this in the book of Acts. It's history. It happened. Let's look at the man, the Ethiopian eunuch, and ask a few questions. You know, let's start back in verse 26. A lot of times you'll hear people say today that as long as you're an honest and good person, that's all that's necessary to be saved and go to heaven. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray a lot. You have to believe in God. You have to be a good person. But there's nothing particular you have to do to become a Christian or to remain faithful as a Christian, and especially going to church and things like that, that's not necessary. Just be a good and honest person. Well, if you start looking at this back in verse 26, you find that the Ethiopian eunuch was a good and honest person. You find that he had a good job. You find that he was also religious. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. Sometimes people say, well, as long as you're religious, that's all you need to do. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just pick a church of your choice. And we talked about that recently on one of our programs. We need to pick the church of God's choice, the one that's found in the New Testament. But people say, pick the church of your choice and be religious and don't worry about it. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? They were religious. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Not everyone, verse 21, who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Doing the will of the Father is what makes us right, not just professing to be religious. But this man was no doubt a good and honest man. We know that from verse 27 that he was religious. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. This would have been in the temple. This would have been Judaism. He wasn't a Christian. He had been there. He had converted to Judaism, a Gentile who was a proselyte, a convert to Judaism. And he had been there to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, verse 28, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. That brings me to my next point, that if you can be saved by simply being a good and honest person, well, then the Ethiopian eunuch was already saved. And if you can be saved by just simply being religious, he was already saved. And number three, if you can be saved by reading the scripture, if that's enough, then he's already saved. Sometimes people will say, reading the scripture, just be a good person and read your Bible from time to time and you'll go to heaven. Well, if that's the case, then he was already saved. He didn't need Philip. Why did the Spirit tell Philip to go to him? He was already saved. He was already right. You see, based upon what modern-day religious individuals say, it really raises some questions if they're right, if they're what they're saying is true. It raises some questions about this whole account. So, he was good and honest. He was religious. He was reading the scripture. But that was not enough to be saved. He commanded the chariot to stand still. Something else needed to happen. Well, if you keep reading, you find that in verse 28, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip is told to go to him. And Philip asks, do you understand what you're reading? The eunuch says, how can I except someone guide me? And the passage that he was reading is found in Isaiah chapter 53. This is the great prophecy of Jesus who is going to die on the cross for the sins of mankind, the suffering servant. He's going to suffer for our transgressions. He's going to be crucified for our sins. And it's a great prophecy. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, of whom speakest thou the prophet, of himself or of some other? Is he talking about himself? Isaiah is going to be led as a sheep to the slaughter? No. Isaiah is prophesying of Jesus. He's prophesying of another. And so Philip, starting from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus, verse 35. Jesus is the subject of this prophecy. And then Philip preached everything he needed to preach about Jesus. That's whom the eunuch needs to believe in and confess and be baptized into his body. And so he preached unto him Jesus. Now, starting right here, we need to begin to ask some questions. Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture preached unto him Jesus. Well, if preaching Jesus is enough and faith in Jesus is enough, then he would have been saved at that point. There are people today, and you'll hear it on radio programs and TV programs. I hear it all the time, televangelists on the radio, on TV. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, first of all, nobody was ever told to do that in these cases of conversion in the book of Acts. Nobody was ever told to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Nobody was ever told that you're saved by faith only. Nobody was ever told to pray the sinner's prayer, ever. And yet that's popular preaching today. And people just take it for granted that that's Bible truth when it's not. But if what people are saying is true, then why did the eunuch command the chariot to stand still? He could have just accepted Jesus as his personal Savior as they were riding along, and he wouldn't have needed to stop the chariot. He could have just prayed the sinner's prayer as they were riding along, and there would be no reason to stop the chariot. He could have been saved by faith only and just ride along. No, something else had to be done. And we know what that is by reading this account, that the gospel plan of salvation includes going down into the water and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, it's for the remission of your sins. It's to wash away sins, Acts 22:16. And no, we're not saved until that point. And that runs contrary to what many preach and what many have believed all their life, but they've been taught a lie. They've been taught error. And that's hard to swallow. When we hear something that is truth, and it's something that we've not practiced our whole life, that is difficult. It's a moment where we have to exercise humility. It's a moment where we have to exercise honesty. And it's a trying moment. And it happens to all of us, including myself. But when that moment comes, we need to be humble and we need to be honest. And we need to accept truth. And then it's also, third, it's a moment of humility. It's a moment of honesty. And number three, it's a moment of courage. Do we have the courage to make the change? So, why command the chariot to stand still if you can be saved by just simply being good or religious or reading your Bible or hearing some preaching? Why command the chariot to stand still if you're saved by faith only? Or accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, or praying the sinner's prayer? Why command the chariot to stand still if baptism is not essential to salvation? You see, baptism is necessary because it's the final act that washes away our sins and places us into the body of Christ. We are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26 and 27, and we are not in Christ until we have been baptized into Christ. If we're already in Christ by faith only, how is it that we're baptized into Christ? Galatians 3:26 and 27. We're already in Christ. If you're in Christ, you can't be him. You can't be in him any more than you already are in him. No, we are not in Christ until we are baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27. That's why the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still, because, and this is very important, in preaching Jesus, verse 35, Philip preached the necessity of water baptism for the remission of sins. And in preaching that and in hearing that, the eunuch said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" How did Philip get from preaching Jesus to talking about water? Because water baptism is what Jesus commanded himself in the Great Commission. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15 and 16. and Matthew 28, 19, and 20, that disciples are made baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how you get from Jesus to water baptism, because water baptism is the very thing that Jesus wants. And there are other passages that we could look at with regard to Jesus. John chapter 3, 5 and following, being born of water and spirit, the new birth. There are other passages that we could look at. So naturally, Philip went from Jesus to water baptism. Preaching Jesus includes preaching baptism. And by the way, friends, if some preacher out there in Clarksville or somewhere else is preaching Jesus and saying that baptism is not necessary for salvation, he's not preaching Jesus. He's preaching another Jesus, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. He's preaching another Jesus, but he's not preaching Jesus. And so that's why the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still. And it's because baptism is necessary for salvation. And so he says, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Nothing can stand in your way. If you believe, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Nothing standing in your way. If you believe, and the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a confession that Jesus is the Christ. And he did the very thing that Paul talks about in Romans 10, 9 and 10, the importance of belief and confession. And so, upon that then, we read, he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And here's another question we could bring up. Why go down into the water? If sprinkling and pouring is okay, there's a lot of denominations today that sprinkle water, that pour a little bit of water on somebody. Well, why go down into the water? You could just stand on the edge and cup your hand and get a little water and sprinkle it on someone, or maybe put two hands together and get a handful of water and pour it on the eunuch. Why go down into the water? You see, these are important conversion questions that we need to be asking ourselves. It shows the importance not just of baptism, but immersion. The word baptized him is literally immersed him, dipped him, or immersed him. And so Bible baptism is always immersion, not just sprinkling or pouring. So friends, that's why he commanded the chariot to stand still, because immersion in water for the forgiveness of sins is a part of the gospel plan of salvation. And you can't do that while you're riding along in a chariot. No, friends, it's not salvation by faith only. It's not just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. It's not pray the sinner's prayer. It's not be sprinkled with a little water. No, that's not what it is. And so it is immersion in water for the remission of sins. And until he did that, he was just simply riding along as a religious man, as someone who'd been reading his Bible, that's good. And even someone who had just heard the preaching of Jesus, that's even better. But he was not saved yet until he went down into that water and was baptized, immersed in water. Well, I hope that you'll think about that, friends. And if you need to do that, let me help you to do that. If you haven't done that yet, let's do that. Or if you've done that wrong, if you've done something but it was based upon what some man said that was wrong, then do it right for the very first time, and I would be glad to assist you in doing that. As we close this morning, I want us to think about another thought, and then we'll close, and that is the importance of the immediate act of commanding the chariot to stand still. The Ethiopian eunuch did not want to ride on any farther than he had to. He wanted to stop. And when he saw water, here is water, verse 36. Some, the traditional spot is called the Wadi El Hesi, northeast of Gaza. Some even believe that it might be the very water brook. It's certainly the same area that David picked up the 5 smooth stones to go fight Goliath. There is water in this area. And the traditional spot has been called the Wadi El Hesi. But whether it's there or somewhere else, there was water enough for both of them to go down and be, and the eunuch be immersed in water. But notice how he commanded the chariot to stand still. And so I want us to think as we close this morning about a few things about the immediacy of this. And this is what you find all throughout the book of Acts. Nobody put it off. Now, there were those, like Felix, who procrastinated. But I'm talking about nobody put it off who wanted to be baptized into Christ. It was immediate. It was the same occasion. There are some denominations out there today that will plan a baptismal service a month from now or 2 months from now. That was never the case in the book of Acts. It's always immediately. And that's why he immediately stopped the chariot. He saw some water. He commands the chariot to stand still. Let's do this right now. So I want you to think about, first of all, the shortness and the uncertainty of your life. Our life is like a vapor, James 4, verse 14. And we don't need to put it off. We have a very valuable soul inside of us. What does man profit if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. Judgment day is coming. When Paul preached to Felix of judgment to come, he trembled, Acts 24, 25. But he said, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee. He just put it off. But judgment is coming. And you and I must obey the Lord in order to be saved. We already read Matthew 7, 21. We must do the will of our Father. And Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, Hebrews 5, verse 9. And that needs to be right now. So number one, you need to stop the chariot, as it were, because we don't know how long we have to live, and we don't know when Jesus is coming again. Number two, you need to be the one to stop the chariot. Notice who stopped the chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch. He took it personally to obey the gospel. It was an individual decision that he made, and friends, it's an individual decision that you must make. Make it right now. And then I want to close with saying, when do you need to stop the chariot? When you understand what you need to do to be saved. He stopped it when he had heard the gospel, believed it, made confession of Christ, and recognized the need to obey it. Now is the time to stop the chariot, if you will, and obey the gospel. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. We encourage you to do what the Ethiopian eunuch did. Do it now. And obey the gospel while you have an opportunity. What a great grace and providence that God has given us to allow us the time to obey the gospel. If you need to do that while you can. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program.